morning blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago. Well, you might think that you've tuned in to Abandoned Manitoba. You might think that we're going to learn about an abandoned place, but we're not. Though we are still speaking to Gordon Goldsborough about a very special event that's coming up next week and a project that Gordon's been working on for quite a while. Good morning, Gordon Goldsborough.
Yeah, good morning, Nadja. Yes, this coming week is going to be a really big one for me. I'm really looking forward to it.
Because?
It's the launch of my next book. It's been in the works for a while. It is the direct result of this series. Longtime listeners may recall that 2 years ago, I launched a book called Abandoned Manitoba, and it did well enough that I guess the publisher invited me to write a sequel. So that sequel is going to launch this coming Thursday, the 25th, at McNally Robinson here in Winnipeg.
Okay, so we need to know all about it. Let's start with the title. What's it called?
Oh, it's original. It's More Abandoned Manitoba.
What's the next book going to be called?
Still More Abandoned Manitoba. Unfortunately, you know, I'm not a marketer, and I guess people who do know marketing say, you know, you need to have a brand awareness, and having it More Abandoned Manitoba gives you that brand awareness.
I was just going to say, it's a total brand you've created.
Yeah,
so why not?
Well, where I did have input, though, is they asked me for a subtitle, you know. So I thought a little bit. I gave them several suggestions. I'm a big fan of alliteration. So I gave them a couple.
Your name, for example.
That's true, yes. So my choice, my preference was, the subtitle was Biffy's Barns and Booze. And I do talk about all three of those things in the book. And I thought, this is perfect. This is a great working, you know, title. And they went, no.
I liked it.
So it ended up being Rivers, Roads, and Ruins.
A bit more highbrow.
Well, and we do talk about all three of those things,
that's
too.
Great.
So it's appropriate.
You got your alliteration. I love this. What was your motivation to write the sequel?
Well, I think it's the same as the first book. You know, I'm a child of rural Manitoba. I love rural Manitoba. You know, it's the places, it's the people. And it bothers me sometimes when I encounter people, particularly here in Winnipeg, who think somehow that the known universe ends at the perimeter highway. You know, and I think if they see the kind of wonderful things you can see in rural Manitoba and the interesting things, the stories behind these places, they may want to see it for themselves. So I suppose that's my primary motivation in doing this book and, well, in fact, this series as well.
Where did this love come from, Gordon? Were you a little kid that was always exploring and discovering things or what?
I had an opportunity as a child. My parents are both from rural Manitoba.
Whereabouts?
My dad is from a place called Ferndale, which is southwest of Winnipeg, about 20 minutes or so. My mom is from a place called Stephenfield, which is west of Carmen. They're both from farming families. And so in the summertime, I would often be farmed out to the family farms. And it gave me a real insight to life outside of Winnipeg. And I say, still to this day, believe that that's a really precious and thing that I want to share with people.
But that's not your vocation, right? You're a biologist. So where did the love of history come from, and local history?
Well, my parents, both of them, to some extent, were interested in history from a very early age. I was, you know, told stories, and it wasn't something that ever was thought to be a career. It was just something that you would find interesting. And so I've been interested in history pretty much my whole life. It's really only something that I've been able to indulge for the last maybe dozen years or so because of the fact that I have a job that gives me a little flexibility. I can travel probably more than some people can, you know, because to get some of these stories, I have to go far and wide, you know, and find places. And sometimes, for example, these are places that are pretty obscure.
Right. How far and wide did you have to travel for this book? How long did it take?
Well, I guess in one sense, you could say I've been at it for about 8 years because to get all the information, to find the places, to get pictures of them and so on, that's how long it took. But I guess for the time that it took me to write the book, it's about a year. I started around this time last year. And in fact, I had to have the entire manuscript done by about June. And that seemed like a long time away when I first started. But man, as I started writing it, I realized just how much more I needed to dig because, some people might think, for example, that if you've heard the radio program, you don't need to get the book because you've got it all. And the fact of the matter is that it's not. I go much more deeply into these stories. And so I had to do the research. So listeners may recall that back earlier this year, I asked if I could maybe reduce the frequency of our shows here, mainly because preparing for these weekly episodes does take time. And I was finding it, I was pressed for time because, of course, I also have a day job.
Yes, and a life. And
so I ended up reducing the frequency of these shows so that I could dig more deeply. And so I just hunkered down and wrote. And I had really a productive spring, and I got lots of written. But I carried on. I ended up finding some better pictures because I was always mindful that sequels are often never as good as the original. You know, whether it's books, whether it's movies. You know, if it's kind of just an a sequel just to take advantage of the success of the first one, usually they don't put a lot of effort into it. So I really wanted to have a book that I could be proud of.
Of course,
a book that was every bit as good as the first one, and I think it is.
What's one place here that in this new book that really, you know, stuck out for you that you can tell us about?
Oh boy, there's all kinds of them. Well, I tell you, one of the things that I'm interested in is not just the story of a site, but it's the backstory, the bigger story. And, you know, in fact, that's one way in which I think this book is maybe better than the first one, because the first book I tended to focus on the individual sites that I was describing. But in this case, I take sort of the bigger picture, you know. So for example, here in Winnipeg, on the south side, right along the Perimeter Highway, is a little site called, it was used to be called the Conestoga Campground. It was established in the 1960s. And when I first saw it, I thought, okay, it's a little campground, like, well, big deal. But then I thought, wait a minute, why was the campground established? You know, what's the backstory? And of course, it is that back around that time in the 1960s, people were becoming much more mobile than they had been before. You know, the provincial highway network was developing. You know, people could get out and travel and were being encouraged to travel. The provincial government was improving the highways. They were building campgrounds in rural areas. You know, some places like the White Shell, you could now go and spend time. You know, so people were traveling more. And I thought, that's the important story. It's the story of what that campground represented in terms of mobility. And so that led me in all kinds of directions about learning how the highway network was built and the various sections of the highway that today we, of course, take for granted. And of course, in the process of that, I found, well, what story do I remember as a kid from traveling around in the 60s? And the thing I remember is Orbit.
Yes, I've heard about this.
Yeah. Well, so anybody of a certain age, they will definitely remember Orbit. Of course, these were spherical trash receptacles along the highway. And it was because, of course, this was the space age. You know, everything was space. And they were made to represent, they look kind of like a Sputnik, you know, the Soviet satellite that orbited, or kind of like a lunar module. And that was the whole premise, that you would throw your trash into orbit. And boy, I mentioned this to a lot of people, and they just, you know, that's the thing that they key in on. They remember that from their childhood. Well, I found the father of Orbit. A wonderful gentleman here in Winnipeg named Peter Boychuk. And he was very generous with his time. He told me all about how Orbit came about, what his motivation was, what the challenges were. And of course, today we don't have any orbits. People might wonder, why are there no more orbits? Well, I talk about that. You know, and so you start with a campground story and you end up talking about trash receptacles along the highway. And that's the fun part of the story is to go for that bigger story.
In addition to the launch that's happening on Thursday, are you having any other launches for the book?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and again, I feel strongly that this is a story that resonates in rural Manitoba. There's so many of the chapters in this book, and there are 28 chapters, incidentally, that relate to rural Manitoba. I figured I have an obligation then to launch it in rural Manitoba. So we've actually got launches set up all over the province, at least as far as I can drive in a reasonable day. You know, we're going to places like Brandon, Killarney, Carmen, Morden, Dauphin, Manitou, Altona, Gimli, Melitta, Portage la Prairie. Just because I feel I have an obligation to share this with the people who've shared their stories with me.
Where can people find out more about the launches and perhaps where to get copies of the book?
Yeah, well, they can go to my website, abandonedmanitoba.ca, and there's both a list of all of the places where the launches are being held in the next few weeks, as well as where you can buy the books. And of course, you can buy them from places like McNally Robinson. You know, McNally Robinson is so supportive, and I'm glad to have had their support. We're also selling it through various other bookstores, Amazon, Indigo, Chapters. Of course, I'm selling it too. So I've got a bunch in the trunk of my car. If anybody would like to have a signed copy, I'd be happy to do that for them.
So speaking of next week, what is the clue for next week?
Well, next week we are going to talk about bears. Well, maybe not bears generally, but a specific bear, a very famous bear who actually came to prominence in the 1950s, a bear named Smokey, and his connection to abandoned sites all over Manitoba.
Smokey the Bear coming up. Gordon, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Nadja.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.